Welcome to the SB Live Arizona Sports Podcast. I'm Brittany Boyer. Joined with me today is Javier and Andy Morales of All Sports Tucson. Today we're going to be breaking down the high school football landscape down here in southern Arizona, and I figured who better to have on to talk about, you know, football down here than you two. So how are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for having us on, Britt. Great.
So, big game tonight. We'll start off with that one. Micah Mountain playing Mesa Mountain View. What are your thoughts on this big matchup? You know, it's a 6A team coming down here to take on a growing program, their first year with a varsity team. What are your expectations and anticipations? Because Pat Nugent is quite a coach.
Well, Pat Nugent wanted to get more games in. He canceled the JV game, right?
They were going to play Tucson High, and they canceled that.
To get this game. And I think it'll be a whole year loss for his players not to play more games. So he's trying to get as many games. So I think it's great. Should they have gotten the top 15 6A team? I don't know. But Micah Mountain, we really don't know what they're ranking because they don't have enough games.
Mm-hmm.
Where they would probably be ranked in the top 20 in 4A if they had enough games. So I think it's great all around for players. As long as it doesn't get out of hand,
mm-hmm.
or injuries. Because I'm sure Mason Mountain View probably has a lot of kids.
Yes.
So there's probably not too many two-way players.
Mm-hmm. No, there's not. They also have a lot of kids that have D1 offers. A lot of kids that are – they just have a lot of kids.
Right.
They have a lot of kids, a lot of depth. So, and also they're a program that's trying to be on the up and up in somewhat of a rebuild year themselves. So I think it's going to be interesting. Javier, I don't know if you have anything else to add in on that.
Micah Mountain, they have a true freshman. Well, they're all true freshmen. They have a freshman that's a quarterback, so he's going to mm-hmm. be, baptism by fire. He's a 6'18". That's one of the top 15 in the state. Joe Germain is the coach. He's had success wherever he's been, like at Queen Creek and so forth. It's interesting that Germain reached out to Nugent mm-hmm. to schedule the game.
Well,
which is odd because Nugent talked to me and he said I don't want as many games now. Because they had a rolling clock against Douglas, who's a 4A team. He said, once that happened, he said, I want to try to schedule more games to give these guys more experience for next year.
Yeah. Now, did you guys think coming into this year and where we're at now, kind of at the midway point of the season, that the Tucson teams that are excelling and doing as well as they are would be the teams, or did you think it would be other teams that aren't necessarily doing as well as everyone anticipated?
Well, I misread CDO. I totally forgot they didn't have any seniors, so I had them winning a lot. So that was one mistake on my part. I thought Mountain View Marana would be a little bit better.
They're missing
a quarterback.
They looked to start the season off strong, and it seems like they kind of fell off after the first couple games.
I didn't know Sunnyside would be this good. I knew Desiree would be good. I didn't know they'd be this good. I knew South Point would fall off because they lost all those weapons. And everything else is pretty much what I expected, except for I didn't expect 3A and 2A to be so good.
But, throw Marana in there. I didn't think Marana was going to be as good as they are. 4-1, mm-hmm. they have a new coach, Philip Stewart. They've had some rough years the last couple of years. They do have a couple of good juniors, Elijah Joplin and Sam Brown, who are two of the better players in Southern Arizona, if not the state, that they're positioned at quarterback and receiver and defensive back. So, but they're one of the most surprising teams, Marana. Sunnyside, we didn't know, coming off COVID year, we don't know what kind of team they were going to have. They only played mm-hmm. one game last year. Desert View, two games last year. We knew Serge Boe and Carlos Alvarez were going to come back. Their offensive line is like, this is their third year in the varsity level, mm-hmm. so I had a feeling they're going to be good. But other than that, I mean, Pushbridge and Sabino I thought were going to be quality because even though Sabino lost AJ Skaggs, they have Cameron Hackworth, who went to my middle school,
mm-hmm.
so I know what kind of athlete he was or is. And then Pushridge, they did lose couple of players last year. They lost Evan Lovett,
mm-hmm.
but They had their nucleus. They have like three players that were juniors. They're juniors this year. They were standout sophomores last year. Like Will Way and Tyler Mustaine, two of those guys. So I thought they're going to be good. And then Ryan, I didn't know Ryan Fontaine was going to have the kind of year he's having.
Mm-hmm.
But those, that's basically it. CDO, and you know, they only had eight seniors. They only play four seniors right now in extended roles.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 3-3, which is not bad considering that.
I thought Iron Ridge was going to be better.
Well, they're under their first year with that with their new head coach as well, are they not?
No.
Hardy, that's his third year.
Third year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought this
but
was
his
first year. But
they're transitioning.
Okay.
It's still a transition for them because they've almost 3 year, but last year was COVID.
Yeah.
So it's really like a second year.
Yeah.
And you have to, a lot of new people, a lot of new players. They had some transfers out. It's kind of like starting over there.
And that was something that we also had talked about on your podcast. For those who are listening, if you want to hear a little bit more in depth from All Sports Tucson, you can go to their website and hear their podcast as well that I just did with them. But one of the topics we touched on was, if Southern Tucson or Southern Arizona and Tucson as a whole would have had a true football season last year, kind of like Phoenix did, and didn't really have to stop and they got to continue rolling straight through, what do you think the first couple weeks of this season would have looked like, and what would the rankings be like now?
Well, like I mentioned, I think Cienega, they're finally in their groove. They would have started out stronger. Sunnyside and Desert View would have been even better, which is hard to comprehend. Amphi Pi would be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You can't replace getting hit in practice.
Yeah.
That's a big component. To be away from that motion for so long and passing to a receiver and the timing. And then the linemen, that much more stronger. There's a lot to be said for one game. You can imagine missing eight games.
Yeah.
And then a whole, and it wasn't only that, they couldn't practice last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well,
there was no spring football.
Yeah.
So it was a long break.
Yeah, I very much felt like, at least from the outside looking in, and this is why I was asking both of you this, that it took a while for them to shake off their, I don't know what you call it. I would say it's ring rust, like when you haven't had a fight in a while. But, you know, to knock that rust off and get back to, you know, the speed and that everything should be firing at. So
I think we're going to see the most impact is when we get to the end of the season of the playoffs.
Because
Desert View hasn't been – they probably would have made the state tournament last year. They didn't. So this is going to be their first experience in the state playoffs, where they might play a Phoenix team who went to the state playoffs, maybe went deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if they're in the open division. So I think that it's going to be even more of an impact as we get to the postseason. Sunnyside, they only played one game last year.
Mm-hmm.
They would have went to the playoffs probably last year with Deion Conde as the quarterback and a couple of good athletes. They don't have the experience. They're going to be open to it now. They're going to have the first time in their careers, really.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see more of an impact when they go to the postseason this year.
Awesome. So, you know, they also have that really great running back at Desert View, Surge, and I don't
Bowie.
Know. Bowie.
Just think Bowie, even
Bowie.
Though
there's
a G in there.
Yeah, yeah, spelled so much differently than that. But, you know, you've gotten to see him play firsthand. Talk a little bit about what you see in him as a player and who he might remind you of on the field and what his potential is.
He's all muscle. He's just a strong running back. Not a big guy. Not a big guy, but he's got some strength. He's hard to bring down. And what I like about him is he can find the hole and he can take advantage of it. He's very very intelligent runner. He doesn't have that breakaway speed that you know top flight running backs have, but he can get that 30, 40, 50 yard gain.
He sees the opening.
He's going to be, I think he should be a D1 player. I think like schools like the Arizona schools should look at him because of just his athleticism. He's a good defense. He might even be a better defensive back if you've seen him. His coverage is really good. I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about him after Desert View, wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they play Sal Point Catholic. And I think a lot of people had... Now, Andy, you mentioned this before. Your expectations for Sal Point Catholic weren't very high today, this season, because they lost so many of their offensive starters. But, you know, that didn't seem to be an issue for them. They felt like they were going to be able to still generate enough offensive production, and they really were anticipating their defense would be a lot stronger than I think we've seen from them this year. So, you know, what is your biggest comparison going to be for this game that they have? Because it's kind of like a division game for them, a playoff game. Like, this is win or go home.
If you look at the way the power points work out, they have to win this game to be safely in the playoffs. But they can't have a lull like they did against Sienega. And a couple other teams, like you said, Saguaro, and then I can't remember who they played after.
Pinnacle.
They have to put a complete game in, because if you let Desert View hang around, because first of all, a lot of people feel South Point's the favorite here, even though Desert View almost triples them in power points.
Don't hesitate for a minute to think that Bonias is telling them that, because he is.
And so, you know, we could easily say if Desert View lets South Point hang around, you know, we'll know when we know who the better team is at the end. It's just one of those things where, are we taking history, or are we taking now? I think now, there's a lot to be said for now.
I think you have to look at now and take into consideration, South Point struggles to stop the run, especially defensively, and, you know, with some of the great running backs that Desert View has, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, don't forget about Carlos Alvarez, because he's a 1,000-yard rusher 2 years ago too, and he gives Boe some time to, both of them give you time to rest and not less chance of injury and so forth. So
at some point, the emergence of Wilhite, but is that going to be enough? I mean,
I think Borgay running is going to be a challenge for Sunnyside, because I don't think Desert View, because Desert View hasn't played a take off quarterback like that. Deon Conde. He's more of a pocket guy. He doesn't roll out a lot. So, I think Desert View is probably, they haven't faced a quarterback, obviously, like Borgay. So we'll see.
You always
have
to have someone with an eye on the quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't just drop back.
Yeah.
Another big game we have on the schedule this week down in Tucson, I believe you said, was Marana at Sunnyside, right?
The other way around.
Sunnyside at Marana. So that's going to be another big game as well. I know Marana had a really hot start to the season, I think a little bit better than anyone else really expected from them. And same can be said with Sunnyside, you know, one of those inner city types of schools where you don't necessarily expect as much or anticipate as much. And, you know, they're going out there and doing it. So with that game, what are your expectations for those two teams long term? And what are you expecting things to come down to on the field with whoever ends up getting the win?
Well, I think both are going to be in the 5A state playoffs. Even though Sunnyside runs the table, it's going to be hard for them to make the open division, because the region there is, even though they have Iron Ridge and Sienega, the points are going to be there. So Sunnyside, if they win this, I think they go 9-1. Marana, if they win it, they go 9-1. So it's kind of like the region championship, just like the Desert View South Point game. The first game is the region championship, really. I think Sunnyside will be challenged more by Sienega and Iron Ridge than what Desert View or South Point would be challenged in the 5A Southern. But it's going to be a good game again. Two good quarterbacks, Deon Conde and Elijah Joplin. So a lot of passing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might see more than, 500 yards passing in the game. Probably will. And then, you know, some good athletes out in space that both teams have. So it would be a fun game to watch. If I wasn't at the Desert View South Point game, I'd probably be at that game. Yeah, it's a great game.
And I'll be up this week for All Sports Tucson at Pueblo, at Tempe, I should say. So I'll be in Tempe covering their game against Pueblo. And I think Pueblo is a team that's on the rise with their rebuild. You know, the year that Mesquite ended up going to the championships and winning it in 2018 for the first time, I believe, or 2019. Pueblo played Mesquite in, I want to say it was like the quarterfinals. And I covered that game, and Pueblo was having some issues getting their offense rolling at that point. But, you know, they are in a rebuild. They have a new coach. So I think it's going to be exciting to see what they're able to do against Tempe. Tempe is one of those schools, too, with it, within that district, Tempe Union High School District. You know, Tempe is a hop, skip, and a jump from ASU, like less than a mile. And right next to it, you have the hospital, and it's right off Mill Avenue. It's not a really great location. They don't have a ton of kids to pull from, and they don't really get a lot of talent. A lot of the kids in that area will go to McClintock or go to a different school like Mountain Point or Corona del Sol. So it definitely impacts them as well. They're like some of these other Tucson schools that are in the city that struggle with getting the kids to stay and attend their school. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be a really good chance for Pueblo to come up to Phoenix and get make a statement win and get some people looking at them, especially being a Tucson team. But I'm sure you guys aren't super familiar with Tempe football, not really dominant, but what do you have to say about Pueblo leading up to their game on Friday and what you've seen from them this year and what you're expecting them to put on display or put forth?
Well, they've had some offensive struggles. Like the game I saw, they were unable to score three times with a first and 10 situation against Foothills, I believe it was. But it's an offensive-minded team. They had their assistant coach, their head coach came from Mountain View under Matt Johnson.
Jake Allen.
You're going to see a lot of spirited line play, some athleticism. The only thing I can remember about the Tempe area is Marco Stanisa. They had that great quarterback a few years ago.
Yeah.
Naz.
And Marco Stanisa is another school in that area that struggles to get kids to go there. A lot of them instead will go to Corona del Sol because it's just up the street, and Corona is a much more competitive school.
Salad. You're near the bar? 200? Like towards the wall where you guys normally sit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then we have quite a few games after that too this week. Like for example, Saturday Wilcox plays, and well, I want to touch on this in case Wilcox does play. You know, 2-0 team. I've talked about them in the past. They've been in my rankings, my top 25 rankings, pretty much every week. Last week they had a big cancellation due to COVID, and you know, it's not a big team. Those kids have to play on both sides of the ball. They have to have their energy, and you know, one of the things I am thinking about for them leading up to this next game is they didn't return to practice until Wednesday of this week, and today's Thursday. Now, granted, they play Saturday, but you saw it last year a lot with the collegiate teams where after they got out of COVID protocol and a lot of the players were sick with the virus, they didn't bounce back as quick. And anyone who had COVID could probably tell you some of those long-term effects. And, you know, it does take your body a little bit to feel better. It's the same thing like when you have the flu. You know, you're not immediately better even when you're feeling good. You go back to practice and you think you're doing good and you're running super fast and you're, like, getting passed by other people. And, yeah, you realize you're not. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they have going on in their game on Saturday. But, you know, just for you guys, you know a lot more about the history of Southern Arizona football. And for Wilcox, I know that the start to this season has been incredibly special for them. 6-0 right now, even with the cancellation last week. What does this mean for the small town of Wilcox to have their team doing what they're doing?
Well, I think these small towns, lots of pride. Historic, you know, they're one of the, Wilcox is one of the 100-year teams, so it's you might see a lot of parents traveling these games, and you saw them play. It's just great athletes who never get a chance to have exposure, and to have all of a sudden media attention, and family and friends, and I think last time, I think when Santa Cruz, for instance, went on the road last year, a lot of stores closed.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a TV movie, but that's really what it is. They all travel together. It's just going to be fun, and I'm glad you got to watch them play. You got to see them. You got to see them play before we did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just excited for Wilcox. It's another tough region, though. Benson and Morenci and Pima.
And yeah, their game against Pima last week got canceled because, you know, I do want to mention this. Prayers go out to the Wilcox team. They did have a player that was in the ICU with COVID, so I haven't heard an update on how he's doing, if he's been released or what's going on. So hopefully he's doing better, and hopefully Wilcox is able to get out there this weekend and get the job done.
He's one of the linemen, one of the big guys. But yeah, and what you saw them play, but what I saw them practice this year, Aiden Fuentes really impressed me with his size and athletic ability.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Pando, the running back, had a 330-some yard game. And they rush for like 400 yards a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, the opponent knows they're going to run. And they still can't stop them. So that just shows you their blocking schemes are working. They have a good size on the line, and they have good athletes. So and Eric Culmerson, he's had success at Safford, right? He was coaching at Safford
mm-hmm.
before. So they're good coaching. Wilcox, we talked about Philip Stewart, coach at Marana. He was at Wilcox with Alonzo Highsmith.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of their assistant coaches. And a lot of these guys that are juniors and seniors played for him at Wilcox when he was there, when he was the offense coordinator or defense coordinator. Well, at that level, you coach both sides. But they're reaping the benefits of being coached by Philip Stewart and now Eric Culmerson.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being coached up.
Yeah.
So it's great to see that they're 6-0 and on a roll. And that game against Benson to end the season, that's going to be something else to watch. That,
yeah.
As long as they take it game by game and
yeah.
look at Benson and Morency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a big key, taking it game by game. A lot of big games down here in the South this weekend. Is there any other games you want to touch on that we didn't talk about?
La Cienega, Iowa Ridge will be a playoff game. Whoever loses, basically, they face a real uphill battle,
mm-hmm.
even if they happen to win their last four games, because it's the points. It's
yeah.
power points, so... and it's going to be hard because both those teams play, Marana and Sunnyside, too. So they got to get a win when they can.
Now, out of both of those teams, which one do you think has a better chance of winning? Because I saw both of them play as well, but each of them only scored one touchdown in the game I saw, and both of them played up in a conference that was a little bit harder than their own. So... Or not necessarily Cienega. Theirs was just the first game of the season, and they played a really strong Sunrise Mountain team. So, they each only scored one touchdown. So I didn't feel like I got to see very much of their offense. They were having some struggles still. So from what you've seen since then, who do you think has the advantage?
Iowa Ridge lost to their district rival, CBO. So I would have to give Cienega a slight edge.
Yeah, I like the way Braden Cherry's come on, their quarterback,
mm-hmm.
their junior quarterback. The game against Sunrise Mountain, that was his first game.
Really, yeah.
Because he didn't play last year, and this is his first varsity experience, but he's passing for like 180 yards a game now.
Yeah,
looking really confident.
I definitely have to throw in with Cienega. I feel like Richie McCormick is a big X factor for them because he's a dual player. You know, he plays both offense and defense, and he really is a nitty gritty and good at moving the ball, but also getting stops. So
he's
I think
tough.
He's going to be really essential. And if he's able to step up and have a good game, it's really going to help Cienega.
Cole McFarland, too. They're
yep.
both, they're kind of like similar.
If Sal Point doesn't come with that interception at the end of the game,
it's a tie game.
Cienega
might go in overtime.
Cienega wins that game most likely because of
yeah.
the momentum. And Sal Point isn't even in the playoff picture.
I'm not crazy. Crazy. So. All right, well, thank you guys so much for joining me on today's podcast, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you tune in next week for our podcast then, and have a great weekend.